I'm kind of just wondering, Suzanne, if you nicked my iPad before the beginning of the meeting and had a quick look at my notes. but that's always very encouraging. Samuel, 1 Samuel 16 is the story of Samuel coming to Jesse's family to anoint a new king. And, you know, we know the story. Jesse gets his boys out to meet the prophet. And Samuel comes into the house and looks at the eldest one and says, nah, this isn't the one. And he goes all the way down the line and he gets to the end of the line and he says, this isn't the one either. And then he probably asks Jesse one of the most embarrassing questions of all time. You know, here's Jesse with his boys before the great prophet. One of them's to be anointed. And yet Samuel's gone all the way down the line and it's none of those boys. And then Samuel says to Jesse, Jesse, is this all of your sons? It's kind of like Jesse probably wanted the ground to open up and swallow him at that moment. But Jesse says, no, there's another one, David, looking after the sheep. And of course they bring him in and Samuel anoints him. And in verse 13 of Samuel, 1 Samuel 16, Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. The English Standard Version says, the Spirit of the Lord rushed on David from that day onwards. I don't know what that would have looked like, but that's what I want for me. That's what I want for us. You know, I want the Spirit of the Lord to rush on us every day, from that day forward. Yeah, I want us to be known as a people on whom the Spirit of the Lord rushes. That's why we've got the carpets out today. You see, we're not the biggest church in Whitney, are we? You know, we don't have the biggest band. And there's a lot of things we don't have, but we do have one thing. And this is the thing that Fiona and I have really, really appreciated since we've been coming to this church. The presence of the Lord is here. And I'm prepared to travel half an hour from Abingdon, the other side of the county, to Whitney to engage with the presence of the Lord. And we're not polished. We don't have it all together. Thank God we don't have it all together. You know, we are. He takes the weak things of this world to shame the wise. He takes the foolish things. You know, and I would rather be weak and foolish than wise and learned. And, you know, the presence of God is in this place. You know, when I used to work in Whitney, and I used to travel from Abingdon to Whitney every day, and people would say to me, where do you live? And I'd say, I live in Abingdon. And people go, Abingdon? It's like it was the other side of the world. You know, and when we walk around Abingdon, and people would say to me, where do you work? And I say, I work in Whitney. Not Whitney. It's like, how do you cope with the travel? It's only half an hour, you know. People's narrow anyway. But the thing that, you know, as I say, Fiona and I have really just appreciated, and just want to honour you guys for carrying that for all these years. You know, the presence of God is here. And that's what is so precious. And, you know, we might be the smallest church in Whitney, but I want us to be known as the church in Whitney that the Holy Spirit rushes on. Amen. you know, I don't know what that will look like. But I want us, every time we come to this place, every Sunday morning, I want us to walk through that door. But even before we walk through that door, I want the Holy Spirit to be rushing on us. So that we are a people who are filled with the Spirit. You know, people might look at us and say, oh, they're just that little church on Windrush Estate. You know, like they talked about David. Oh, he's just in the garden looking after the sheep. Well, sometimes the little person in the garden looking after the sheep is the one that the Lord anoints. You know, and I really believe that that's what the Father wants to do, is he wants to rush upon us with his Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, and I said to Graham last week, and Winsome's off. Keep going, Winsome. This is good. I said to Graham last week, I was supposed to be speaking on something to do with our series, and I said to Graham, would it be okay if? And I said, I've been trying to prepare something for the series, and it's just not coming together. But I kind of feel I got something brewing in another direction, and Graham was just wonderful, and he said, just go with it. He didn't even ask what it was. And that's one of the things that we love about Graham and Tamsin, is just their freedom. And the freedom they give us, I tell you, you don't see that in a lot of places, you know. And so I want us to be a people that are filled with the Spirit. Yes. I don't want, you know, I want us to come every Sunday with an expectancy that God will do something completely different to whatever he's done before. You know, and not for us to settle into a routine of thinking, last week was good, maybe we can do the same again. No! You know, last week was good, but let's make this week even better. You know, and we can't do that in our own strength, because it's not about us. It's not about how we perform. It's simply because the Holy Spirit, for some unknown reason, has just chosen to rush upon us and meet with us powerfully. You know, Ephesians 5, 18 says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Yeah, and we associate drunkenness, don't we, with a party, rolling around the floor, you know, losing control and being, you know, drunk. And, you know, Paul's encouragement is, don't be drunk on wine. You know, that will wear off. And you get a headache. You'll have a hangover. You know, he says, but instead of going for something temporary that leaves you with a hangover, go for the life of the Spirit. You know, and sometimes that might involve us rolling around the floor. And that's fine, and that's good, and we all love that. But sometimes being filled with the Spirit is very simply living everyday life in the power of the Holy Spirit. And going through the troubles and the trials of dealing with your granddaughter, you know, and going into hospital, you know, and all the things that we all face every day. You know, very often we're not rolling around the floor, but we can be filled with the Spirit in those times. And yeah, Paul's encouragement throughout his letters is to be filled and to go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. And Suzanne read it at the beginning of the meeting, Acts chapter 2. She read from verse 17, which I'll come to in a minute, but the first few verses of Acts chapter 2 are the day of Pentecost. And the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. That sounds like today, doesn't it? We're all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what appeared to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them, were filled with the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues. See, that's That's what was prophesied in Joel, wasn't it, that Suzanne read out at the beginning of the meeting. I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will see dreams. I think I'm in the transition of moving from vision to dreams, but I'm hoping the transition takes a long, long time. But, you know, this, that they were all together and the Holy Spirit fell on them. And then they changed the world. They didn't change the world, but the Holy Spirit changed the world. See, if we ever think it's us that changes the world, that's when the Holy Spirit goes out the door. I've been in churches where the Holy Spirit went out the door because it became all about our own strength. We can do this. And the moment we say we can do this, the Holy Spirit says, fine, I'll leave you to it. I'll come back when you're ready for me. You see, and I read this just a couple of weeks ago, these verses, and you know, I just felt God say, this is what he wants to do every week when we're together. When we are together, he wants to fall upon us by his Spirit so that we become channels and vessels that can go out into the world. And we're all in different bits of the world, aren't we? Different workplaces, different communities. We all got different things we feel the Lord has put on our heart to do. And I just want to encourage us is to allow the Holy Spirit to rush on us, not just on Sundays, but on every day, so that whatever he has called us to do, we go and do that with all of our heart. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, and life in all its fullness. And so often, so many of us have settled for so much less than life in all its fullness. You know, we kind of think if we're scraping by, we're doing well, but that's not the life that we've been promised. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, and life in all its fullness. I don't, you know, I think I've begun to see that, but I want to see so much more of that. I want to see so much more of that here. Wouldn't it be great if a sound went out of this door, out of this building, of what? The sound of God, the sound of the Lord. The Lord is there. You know, and that sound went out of this place. Wouldn't that be great? Yes. That even in the week, the sound, the Lord is there, went out from this place. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, and life in all its fullness. The enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy. And too often we focus on what is being stolen from us, what is being destroyed. What the enemy is doing. Well, he's a loser. Yeah. You know, let's, instead of focusing on what he's doing, what he's stealing, let's focus on receiving the life that Jesus said that he's come to give us. When Jesus met the woman at the well in John chapter 4, he asked for a drink, just a casual conversation. And the Samaritan woman says, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. How can you ask me for a drink? And Jesus says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would give you living water. And I read that verse this week and I just felt the Lord say through it that, you know, do we know the one who is offering us a drink? You know, are we aware of the one who is actually saying, I've come that you might have life? Because that should excite us. You know, and Jesus said to that woman, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. You know, it's amazing. We just take a little drink and a river of life flows from us. You know, the life is multiplied. When Jesus went up to the festival in John chapter 7, and on the last day of the festival, he stood up and in a loud voice he said, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him would later receive. You know, once again, Jesus says, have a drink and let it become a river. And I don't really want to say much more than that this morning. But just let me finish with Acts chapter 2, verse 28. You have made known to me the paths of life, and you fill me with joy in your presence. You've made known to me the paths of life. You fill me with joy in your presence. I just want to play a song sung by a guy called Michael Smith. And it's called Let It Rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. And just as this song is playing, it's on here, Ayala, it's okay. Just as it's playing, just open your heart. You know, you might want to stand, you might want to go and just lie on the carpet, but be in a place where you can receive. Be in a place where the Holy Spirit can rush on you. I mean, that word rush is powerful. It's not a trickle. You know, this is the Holy Spirit wants to rush on you in all of his power. And not just for today. So just find that place where you want to just, where you can just receive.
Let it rain.
Yes.
Open the floodgates of heaven.
Yes.
Let it rain.
Yes. Let it rain.
Let it rain. Yes. Open the floodgates of heaven. Sing out.
Open the floodgates of heaven. The Lord reigns. Let the earth be glad.
Yeah.
Let the distant shores rejoice. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord. Before the Lord of all the earth, the heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all peoples will see his glory.
Father, we just ask you to rush on us by your Holy Spirit. That you would rush on us powerfully by your Holy Spirit. Father, that your Holy Spirit would just come and fill each one of us afresh. That we would be filled with the Spirit. That we would step into a greater measure of the life that you have for us. Father, that every time we meet together, we wouldn't look for something that was the same as last week. But every time we meet together, we would meet for a fresh encounter with you and your Spirit. And Father, we ask you to just rush upon us. That we would be known for a people in whom the Holy Spirit lives. That, Father, your life in us would be attractive. Yes. That it would be a magnet to the people around us. Father, thank you for pouring out your Spirit on us. Thank you for pouring out your Spirit on all mankind. That we are living in a day when you are pouring out your Spirit. And we can hear your voice and we can speak your voice. We can speak your word. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Just rush upon us. Father, each one of us, we are open. We're open to receive more of you. And just as on the day of Pentecost, your Holy Spirit fell in that room and it changed that small group of people, we pray, Father, that today, right now, in this moment, your Holy Spirit would fall on each one of us. And that the wind of your Spirit would blow into this place and blow into our heart and blow the cobwebs away and bring new life into each one of us that would cause us to walk out in the Spirit of God. Not in our own strength or in our own abilities, but we would walk out in the power of your Spirit. Father, we do say, let it rain. Father, we do want it to rain upon this town and upon this country. But first and foremost, Father, we want you to rain in our hearts. That you would pour a deluge of your Spirit into our hearts, Father. Father, that we would have a just like one of those torrential storms of your Holy Spirit raining into our hearts. That you would change us, Father. That every time we meet together, there would be a fresh wind of your Spirit that blows into us. That every time we meet together, there would be the presence of, we would have an encounter with your presence, Father. That you would change this little group of people. You would transform us with the power of your life. That we really would live and walk as sons and daughters in this broken world. Creation around us is crying out for the sons of God to be revealed. And Father, may we have the Spirit of your Son filling our hearts. That we would meet you, we would have encounters with you, not just on Sunday mornings, but we would have encounters with you in our living rooms, in our cars, in our kitchens. That we would have encounters with you as we walk around the streets, that we would have encounters with you in the shops. That Father, wherever we go, we would have encounters with you. And that we would live in the fullness of the life that you have for us. Thank you. Let it rain. Let it rain. Let it rain.
It's now.
Yeah, we got it.